Marissa Nelson. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist and certified sex therapist is on the show. Certified. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Well, wonderful to be here.
Well, it's wonderful to be alive, isn't it?
Isn't it?
It is. Don't turn
isn't it
sucks.
Wonderful to be a sex therapist?
It is. The thing is that, you know, being a sex therapist and a sexuality educator is all-encompassing, right? Because I'm still in private practice, and I see couples and clients all the time, themes around sexuality and rediscovering their body and trying to negotiate their relationships and their relationship
You're
structures.
You're trying a lot of things that are like, this sounds like cocktail party stuff I tune out.
Now,
when you say sex, I'm like, oh,
yeah.
I'm interested
in
that
subject. You put him back on that one, yeah, right. It's like Pavlov's dog over here.
No, but when you tell people what you do, doesn't it, you know, people are either very interested or intimidated.
Right.
Like, ooh, she knows what she's doing.
Don't tell her.
Therapize my sex.
She's going to figure out. I don't know what
enough,
I'm doing.
I know. No, it's very interesting. There's never an Uber that I can go into and somebody's like, oh, what do you do? There's just lots of context. Airplanes, I've just sat next to people. And they're like, oh, what do you do? Oh, I'm a relationship and I'm a couple of sex therapists. And they're like, well, let me tell you.
So oh, really?
Just yeah. Saying, we don't do small talk in my life. It's like straight to like medium talk.
Yeah.
Because many people just like finally feel like they have a space to share, hey, I'm having pain during sex. What do I do? Hey, I'm having issues with erectile dysfunction. My partner's really upset about it. You know, how do you handle that? I think it's much like having a lawyer or a doctor in the family. Like, you just call them when you know something is not right, and you're going to get that.
That's
support.
True.
But it's free advice here. You gotta make money.
No, but you don't get your mother calling you saying, I'm having pain in my vagina when I'm with your father.
Honey, your father just hurt me.
I hope.
Yeah. I mean, like, Ew.
Ma!
I'm going to eat over here. What's the matter with you?
That's
no,
wild.
But, you know, but funny enough, I will say that even sex therapy is very, you know, as interesting as it is, I'm also holding space for a lot of people's trauma. I'm holding space for how, you know, maybe childhood or body image issues or messages that they may have gotten about, you know, their body or sexuality or what they should and shouldn't be doing have affected them and are like affecting their relationships and the way that they know how to be connected and feel pleasure and experience pleasure. And so many times, even though we talk through kind of the nitty gritty, it really also is a lot of healing
on.
For AJ, people.
AJ's making a face. Yeah. I know the point you're making and you're right. We think sex therapists, we think all cool and fun stuff.
We do.
But there's a lot of, there's trauma.
Right, right, right.
Horribleness.
Is there a game department?
What do you mean? Like, we're going to play sex games
like game department, yeah. Yeah.
Now, the mind is a powerful thing.
It is.
It's interesting. Like, you know, Father's Day is Sunday.
Uh-huh.
We might have a conversation with our parents about, hey, you know, girls are different than boys. I'm sure the conversation's way different now.
I didn't get the conversation.
However, we don't get into, like, you know, when you're down there.
Right, exactly, right. Yeah, no one gives an instruction
Here's
manual.
The deal. There's this little magic spot.
Do what
and
you,
if you get good at that, women will love you.
Do what your dad did.
And if not, you're going to be found to be boring.
Right. Do what your dad did, okay? This is what I did over here. Write this down.
Right. There's, you know, dads don't do that generally, correct?
No.
Well, when it comes to even just sexuality education, it's just something that has been very challenging, I think, for parents to even have that conversation with their kids or their teenagers. You hear themes like when a conversation does happen, it happens kind of quickly and don't get pregnant or,
right.
You know, use protection. And if you have any questions, here's a book. But it is not an ongoing conversation.
Oh, I would have loved a book.
I got to go out and play with your friends.
I would have loved a book.
Go out and play with your friends.
Yeah.
Go play with your friends.
Yeah.
Dad, so I'm 27.
That's what you usually get. You get a book. You get a manual. Hey, any questions? Here's a tape, you know, or don't get pregnant. Don't get anyone pregnant. And that's the extent that we know a lot of times around sexuality. And then there's another component of it. If there is religion that possibly can be involved, you're growing up with religious messages around what you can do and what you can't do, what's right and what's not right. And so all of that kind of creates who you've become sexually and a lot of the beliefs that you have around sexuality. But our parents do the best that they can.
You know what?
Who is giving them the talk?
You've made this sound like a job. I was like, wow, sex therapist. Hey. That's awesome. Now I'm like, oh, it is a job.
You gotta like listen to people about their problems.
Yeah. I can't listen. I'm not a listener.
Right. Yeah, so, like there's a lot more to it than I, you know, you hear sex therapist, you're like, oh, that's very sexy.
Yeah.
So that's a really cool job. Ashley?
So that game department AJ was talking about, where's that?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the game department, I think, is the other aspect of intimacy, because I do believe that we need to incorporate and help couples, help, you know, if it's solo play, if you're in couple or if you're in a relationship, helping them to have more fun together, helping them to play a little bit more, helping them to expand their definition of sexuality.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there, yeah.
I see, you know, look, the internet's been great at finding out what's going on out there.
There's a couple of sites out there.
I've been pretty sheltered. Apparently, there's a lot going on out there.
I had no idea.
And I just, like, before the internet, how do these people meet? Like, you know, how do you walk up to someone and say, do you like dressing up like an animal?
Right. Exactly. We know the trick.
What do you
function.
Think about unicorns?
Right.
I love them!
Right. What do you think about... Being in a bedroom naked with a unicorn.
You see barn animals, you get kind of randy.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like the internet, you can now, all these people can find one another and it's easy. But before it was like what? Yeah, like a park and ride or like a, some bathroom at a...
Depends what you're riding.
On the highway. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts. No pun intended.
Yeah, they're very different ways that communities find each other, right? Because with every community, there's a specific code and a way of being that members in the community can identify and then find each other. And I think the internet has been all abuzz with the pineapple trend and finding very discreet ways of finding each other and readiness for play.
So this is exactly what I'm talking about, and it's exactly why you're on
pineapple.
Now. So people are find each other through the internet, but there's another way to do it now in 2022. It's the upside down pineapple.
Really?
AJ, what do you think that means?
I have no idea. It means like fruit? You like dole? I have no idea.
Yeah.
A cheesecake.
Marissa?
Well, the upside down pineapple trend is, well, pineapples upside down have become the symbol of swingers or those in kind of non-traditional relationships or non-traditional play structures, in the sense of a lot of heterosexual couples or partnered couples can want to, you know, kind of share their interest in swinging with other couples. And so many times, especially on vacation, you'll see upside down pineapples perhaps on their room door, if they're on a boat or on a cruise, on their cabin door. It just signifies that there is a readiness or openness for play, and to kind of signify that they're swingers.
Okay, lots of questions.
Okay.
So short answers, please. First, why do pineapple?
Yeah,
why
what? Pineapple?
Yeah. One of the kumquat.
Yeah.
They're very ouchy.
You know what? Interestingly enough, pineapples are beloved across different fields. You know, for hospitality, it's about, you know, friendship and openness and luxury. I'm also in the fertility space. Pineapples also are a sign of fertility. And so the pineapple being turned upside down, it's just an interesting, you know, fun, cheeky, so to speak, way of a symbol.
Phil, can you Google how it started? I'm guessing that everyone at a hotel had a pineapple mat.
Right.
And someone said, mine's going to be upside down.
So, yeah, if you see that one.
Yeah.
Right. I was going to do it on my phone, though, because I don't want
to. See, to me.
Do it on a work computer.
It sounds like an act. We're going to do the upside down pineapple tonight.
Okay.
I mean, yes.
And then, so you put this pineapple upside down.
Okay.
Knock on a door. You
pineapple
open.
Salesman?
Now you find the couple. Not up to your, like, whatever.
How you doing?
Not attractive or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Just not your cup of tea.
What
for
you
whatever
say?
Reason.
Right.
do you just close the door?
Right.
Well,
you got a little,
sorry.
You got a little peephole thing. You're trying to say, I'm not here right now.
If they have a peephole. Yeah. What's
the etiquette? Regardless of which, even in all relationships, if you choose to share your bed with someone, there has to be some level of communication. So if somebody, even if you're a swinger, and that might not be your physical ideal, or you may not be attracted to that person, I mean, that's okay. I mean, there's still plenty of friendship. Maybe you're attracted to one person. Maybe you're just there to have conversation and be in community.
That's
sometimes
a good one.
It's a little bit more than just, you know, swinging.
I got you.
Right.
Okay, so it's not just all physical. We could be friends.
Right, right. Let's discuss this.
What if, you know, you open a door, it's a couple, and there's one, you know, you're like, yeah, great.
Yeah, one's
the other
an
one's
ugo.
Like, hmm.
Yeah, one's an ugly, one's not, right?
I'll get the hot one.
We don't use words.
Okay, sorry.
Just one is like, hey, I'm in. The other one, I'm not in.
It's a form of pineapple.
How do you break that news? What
just
do you do?
Like with all things, communication. Because even though, you know, we're talking about swinging, even in ethical non-monogamy, which just means like there is an openness around, you know, your relationship and sexuality, that there's not cheating. Cheating is, you know, breaking that rule of ethical non-monogamy. You're saying, you know what? There's an openness. We want to explore pleasure together. For some couples, that's okay. If one partner is attracted to, you know, another partner, and they have that conversation and say, yeah, I want you to have pleasure.
No, but you
I
know
want
what I'm saying?
You to feel
yeah,
good.
There's two people. You only want one of them. So what you say is, listen, why don't you stay here? Can you get coffee?
How do you reject
coffee?
One?
You know what makes this party better?
Drinks.
Right. A pizza.
Right, exactly.
You're
right.
Going to go.
Right, and I want you to make sure they make it. So that's like 25, 30 minutes?
No, yeah. But there's no way that, because we're dealing with humans, yeah. And I don't care how much of a swinger you say you are,
yeah.
I am the opposite. Like if swingers are over here,
right?
I'm over here.
Way down there. You can barely
I
see them.
Yeah. Like, the idea is great, yeah. But, you know, the application,
yeah, not my
lots of problems.
Not my
you're
thing.
A vanilla friend. That's yeah, what really. They call those.
Yeah, oh, really? Yeah. Well, it's okay to be a vanilla friend. It's okay to be a vanilla friend. I just think, like, with everything, even if we're talking about swinging, there's still an incredible level of communication that has to go into it, or else there will be consequences. It could cost your relationship disconnection. It could be bickering. It could be fighting. It could be hurt feelings. And so even if you choose to play together, it's really important that you talk about your attraction. Talk about, you know, hey, I think that this partner is super attractive. What do you think? Do we all play together? Do I watch you play with, you know, that other person? That's also part of our fantasy. That's also part of
it's
our play.
It's impossible to not have
too.
Some really... You know, it's impossible for this to not be complicated.
Impossible.
It's impossible.
I'm allergic to pineapple.
It's impossible.
Yeah, a lot of flavors going on.
You're in the room. They have your spouse. They're going bananas. Yeah. Your spouse having the best time. You've never seen your spouse like, woohoo! Like, make cowboy noises or whatever.
Yeah, what are you, volcano
riding? Like a pig.
Right.
Farm animal noises.
I didn't know you had, like, what? You're sitting over there like. You never did that with
yeah,
me. There's too many problems.
I didn't know you could yodel.
Too much jealousy.
I will say that it's not that swingers or those in, you know, poly or non-traditional relationships or ethical non-monogamy, all of these terms, right? All of these umbrella terms. It's not that there isn't jealousy. It's not that there isn't feeling sometimes when there's, you know, boundaries can be pressed against, but there is an incredible amount of communication in comparison to a lot of monogamous relationships where people do cheat and people do not be completely above board about their attraction. And people sometimes can hide a lot of the attraction, the flirtation, the play that they do outside of the relationship. I venture to say that the one thing that vanilla folks can learn from these communities
What is the vanilla thing? I'm missing that.
We
non-swingers.
We were talking to someone who is involved with FetLife, and that's what she said. They call their friends that are not from that world. They're vanilla
friends.
Right. Oh, I thought feta cheese.
I mean, I'm a vanilla friend.
Okay.
Right. So if you're a vanilla friend or just one that prefers, you know, traditional ways or you know,
I got it.
That's fine.
I was just wondering, like am I being goofed on?
Like vanilla,
no? No.
I'm more Neapolitan.
Yeah. I just find it interesting that whole world has a lot of flavors to identify people.
Yeah.
I think spices would be better.
Right? Yeah.
You know, I think you have to be, there are personality types. And I think that if you're a person with a lot of feelings, this is not for you.
Yeah, you don't want pineapples.
I think you have to be one of those people where it's like all black and white. Like it's like, I don't know.
I think you'd be surprised because especially really? With many of the clients that I work with and a lot of colleagues that are also, you know, in the space, I think that they're incredibly intuitive, like very emotive, you know, sensitive people. But this is, it works for a lot of people. Everybody has their different preferences and this can be successful for a lot of couples and, you know, a lot of partners. I think that what underpins all of it is how you communicate and how you set expectations up front. Where feelings get hurt is if there's not a sense of transparency and openness and honesty about what the expectations are of play and where the boundaries lie around your partner. Mm. If that's your, you know, primary relationship and you want to nurture, you know, your relationship with your spouse or your partner, then if you do things that are not in agreement to what you've discussed, then that's where the hurt comes from. It doesn't necessarily come from the sexuality. I think a lot of people mix the two and say, oh, well, we are, you know, our relationship is also can be triggered by us wanting to play and be sexual with other people. It can, but many times if there's that, your primary partner or your spouse is that person who you have that emotional monogamy with. And as long as that's not messed with, many times you can play and have sex and that's okay. And there's not a lot of hurt feelings if there's good communication.
I am so vanilla. Vanilla calls me vanilla.
Right. 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 I'm vanilla bean.
Vanilla's like, wow.
I'm vanilla bean.
You're vanilla.
Right. I'm just plain milk.
You're fascinating. You're really a great guest. I want to have you back on.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
No, you really, it's one thing to do something, but it's another thing to do it very well. So, we're linked up to all your stuff on the radio station website.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of stuff for her. Instagram and TikTok and Twitter and Facebook. And
videos. And
lots of places to find her.
Exactly.
Marissa Nelson, licensed marriage and family therapist and certified sex therapist. That's a whole segment. How do you get certified? What do you got to do? What's that test like?
Is there a dance involved?
All right. Thank you. Have a great weekend. Appreciate you.